Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church. My name's Mac. I'm the youth pastor at the Tenasket Free Methodist Church. And if you haven't picked up on it or are just tuning in, Pastor Ryan and I switched places. He's doing children's church, did children's church, and I'm speaking. Before I go any further, I want to make sure to address what today is. It's Father's Day, and I want to wish you a happy Father's Day. As you can tell, we're out on a boat. We tried to figure out what would be the best place to film it for Father's Day, and I figured, why not do some fishing? Even Jesus had a good fishing story. When Pastor Ryan and I were talking about this a couple weeks ago, we were trying to figure out what I'd speak on, and we came up with what I've learned as a youth pastor through the COVID crisis, through this whole ordeal. So you might call today a day in the life of a youth pastor through COVID-19. Before I start, I want to let you know something. I'm going to share some things that may be kind of difficult, but I want to ask a favor, that you would pause, reflect on what I say, and bring those truths to God. Back in March, when this whole thing happened, when the shutdown happened, my kids, it was like overnight, my kids were staying home. I was staying home. I wasn't doing youth group like I was. I wasn't able to go visit high schoolers at the high school anymore. Everything had changed. And I know all of you experienced that same thing. In some form or fashion, our lives changed overnight. I would love to sit here and encourage you by saying, hey, I immediately went to God and prayed, and it was, everything was okay. But if I can be completely transparent and say, that's not what happened. I was kind of in a daze. And then when I came out of the daze a little bit, I started to rely on myself. God has gifted me. I'm pretty good at some things and I'm pretty smart, but I relied on myself instead of relying on God. And that made things pretty difficult. The reason I wanted to share that is I know a lot of you can relate to this. One morning I was reading. My wife and I were reading a devotion, and it's like God woke me up. Now, that's not to say I fell asleep while I was reading with my wife, but I woke up from the daze and confusion and that self-reliance. And God gave me something. He gave me not an answer, but a question. And that question was, why would God allow this to happen? And I'm sure a lot of you have asked that question. Why would God allow this to happen? There are a lot of opinions going on around. There were and still are, and I'm not sure we'll ever truly know the truth, but I mean, there's talks of it came from a bat, it isn't real, it's very serious, it isn't serious. The list goes on, and maybe you're like me and I'm not even sure what to make of it. But here's one thing I was reminded of. God's sovereign. God's word tells us he's sovereign. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, it says, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. God is sovereign over things in the church and things that are secular, things outside the church. So the question remains, why would God allow this to happen? What could be the purpose? As I prayed and thought on this for a couple weeks, God kind of gave me this word, and I've shared it before. A lot of you have heard me say this in my youth videos, but that word was revival. And now, this may be a new word to you. I know a lot of you know what this is. And in the church context, revival is an awakening of God's people to his presence. Of course, God would want our attention. And this is one way he would use to get our attention. And I want to make one thing very clear. By saying that God wants our attention and allowed all this to happen, I am not saying he didn't want us listening before. God wants a deep and personal relationship with us. That's one of the reasons Jesus gave his life. But just as Moses and the burning bush, God uses many tactics to get our attention so that he can make sure we're really listening. It also doesn't mean we should listen any different when this isn't happening, when we go back to normal, whatever normal looks like we should be listening just as intently to what God has for us. Psalm 25, 4 through 5 says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for I want all the day long." As I kept getting this one word, revival, I started to search God's word for some sort of explanation. And what I was led to was Revelation 2. The phrase, that passage Pastor Ryan, that passage Pastor Ryan just read to you. Those verses are, they're letters from Jesus to seven different churches. The one, the section he read was to the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus was an amazing church. It first started, it's the second largest city in the Roman Empire, second only to the capital. And it was a place of pagan worship until Paul went there on a mission trip, and then he started the church of Ephesus. After that, they were on fire doing great things. And over time, that slowed down a little bit. And in that passage, you hear Jesus commends them for their works. He says, you've persevered. You've endured hardships. You've discerned false prophets. But then those are all really good things we should be doing as followers of Christ. But then he follows up in verse 4 by saying, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." That's a tough statement. That love you had at first, that love he's talking about, is the love they had for God when they had first been converted, when they had first started following Jesus. This church was on fire, and it changed. Things slowed down. They didn't stop doing the things that we should do, but their heart had wavered. One writer puts it this way: what remained of this church was a devotion to truth, but not a devotion to God. That's a hard statement. A devotion to truth, but not God, is someone who responds out of duty instead of out of a passion for God. The church of Ephesus was responding out of duty. That's what Jesus is explaining. You've kept to the truth, but you've forsaken your love. Friends, has your love for God grown cold? Now just sit with that for a minute and think about it. If you can relate to this, I don't want you to lose hope. In Luke 24, we read this story of two men that are walking on the road to Emmaus. And this is a really popular story to preach on the Sunday after Easter. I've actually done it, but the reason it's popular is these two men are just walking from Jerusalem after they witnessed the crucifixion of Jesus. They're walking on this road, and it explains their situation, their look, their demeanor, and it says that there's a third man with them. That third man, they didn't recognize him at first, but that third man was the resurrected Jesus. He's walking with them, he starts asking them questions, and then he shares with them scripture. And they reach their destination. The two men go inside, and they invite Jesus in. Still not knowing who he is, they invite him in, and Jesus comes in, breaks bread, and then they recognize who he is, and he disappears. But this next point, this next verse in verse 32, that's where I want to draw your attention. The two looked at each other and said, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" These two men, earlier it says they're downtrodden, they have a downcast face. They had been following the Messiah, the king was coming in, the king of the Jews they'd heard about. They're flying high on cloud 9, and then he dies. This is a difficult thing. Earlier in that passage, like I said, it said they're downcast. That's not the picture of two men who are on fire for God. It's okay to have those emotions, but when we're living in that place, when we're living passionate for God, we know all things, that he's sovereign over everything, and it's much easier to continue on with joy. These two are downcast. There's two things they talk about. There's two things in that verse. It says that when he walked with them on the road and opened the scriptures with them. If there's two things that are going to rekindle the passion of God's people, it's his presence and his word. God's presence isn't something that that we can escape from. David even says, "Where can I flee from your presence?" But there's a difference between being in the presence of God and being intentional with the presence of God. When looking at revival, it has to start there. It has to start with God's presence and God's word. Just as the two men who were on that road, revival is happening. I'm going to be the first to say, it doesn't look like what I always pictured it would look like. I grew up in the South and it was these tent revivals and people were up dancing and singing, and it may not look like that today, but God is sovereign and is using the COVID crisis, whether it's how we see it or not, he's in control. Since the quarantine, there's a church in California that they were normally reaching somewhere around 12,000 each Sunday. And just recently, their online church service reached 1.3 million people. In fact, some of you are watching on what I'm calling the church online platform. It's what our church uses. And on just Easter service, it reached 9.6 million people. On just Easter service, 69,000 people made a commitment to follow Jesus. Amen. I don't know if there's something to say amen to. That's it. Even in our own church, these are unprecedented times with unprecedented numbers. In our own church, there's been several who have come back to church. There's been several who have returned to Jesus, recommitting. There are several who have made a new commitment to Jesus. Revival, like I said, may look a little different, but don't be mistaken. It is happening, and that's something to praise. So as I continued on, I prayed, okay, God, you've got our attention. What now? What should we focus on now? If the purpose of revival is to awaken God's people to his presence, that's happening. So what do? I shared in a newsletter our church sent out a couple weeks ago, I shared the answer God had given me. The target, the method of delivery doesn't matter because the target hasn't changed. And the reason I got that is youth group may look different, visiting high schoolers may look different, but our goal is still the same. Those things are important, but the main thing is reaching youth with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not to say just high schoolers. All of us, it's still our main target is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19 says, "Therefore go and make," many of you know this verse, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." How I share the gospel doesn't matter nearly as much as actually sharing the gospel. Let's not lose focus. It's easy to get distracted and let the events of the world become our main focus. In fact, if we're really honest, we'd say we're watching news more than we are watching Jesus. That's a statement, actually, when Pastor Ryan and I were talking about, he shared with me, and it's really true. It's easy to be focused on what's happening in the news and less on what Jesus is doing in our world. Jesus actually prays in John 17. This isn't to say that we should be Christians with our head in the sand, so to say. We should be aware of what's going on. He prays in John 17, "We're in this world as followers, but we're not of it." Jesus continues to pray that we would not be taken out of this world. He wants us in the world because we have a purpose while we're here. But he does pray that the Father would protect us from the evil one while we're in the world. See, we're supposed to be, you've heard that phrase before, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. Because we're here with a purpose, and that's to share the gospel. We should still be walking alongside others in love and sharing with them the good news of Jesus Christ. It's important that we stay focused on this main thing. When I first became a youth pastor, Pastor Ryan shared something with me. We were working with some other people, and I didn't know if what we believed matched up totally. And he said something to me that I haven't forgotten. Keep the main thing about the main thing. And the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have you ever seen a lion tamer? I remember when I was younger, I watched, I can't remember if it's a picture or a video, but I remember the image distinctly in my mind, this lion tamer walking into a cage at a circus under a big tent, and there's lions in there, and he's carrying a couple of tools with him. He's got a whip and probably a pistol for protection, and then he's got a stool. And I remember thinking, why would he carry a stool? Well, if you ask a lion tamer, he'll tell you that stool is the most important tool he carries in there. Because what he does is he holds that stool with the seat towards him and the four legs pointed at the lion. And the lion tries to focus on all four legs. When it does that, its attention becomes fragmented. It's a disabling thing, almost paralyzing the lion. The same is true for us. When our focus is on too many things, we become paralyzed and our attention becomes fragmented. At the very least, our efforts are fractured. Let's stay focused and respond to the world through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pastor Ryan always says, another one of Pastor Ryan's always says, is let's not forget the end of the story. That's the resurrection. God wins. Amen? Amen. Church family, let's not grow cold in our love for God. Let's respond to the events of the world with the gospel being our focus and share the good news with everyone. If you have never accepted Jesus, it's really not very hard. It's very simple. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe and you will be saved." Recognize your sin. Turn to Jesus and ask him into your life, forgiving you of your sin and leading a new life in him. Church family, I love you. I'm excited for what God is going to do in this time. Would you pray with me? Father, first and foremost, we thank you for being the example of a perfect heavenly Father. God, I pray a blessing over fathers today. God, that they first would be blessed, but also have a day that's special in your presence. God, as we move forward through whatever you have in store for the events that are going to happen in this world, I pray that we would recognize your sovereign, and we need to grow in our love for you. God, I pray that the way we're responding to people would come from a place of passion, of love for you, God, and recognition of how your gospel changed our life. God, we love you. We pray these things in your name and are grateful for you being such a perfect heavenly Father. Amen. Church, have a great week.